Good evening. Welcome to this episode of the Ad Drop Podcast. There are times when we discuss FBS teams left, right, and center, but today I want to focus on the FCS team, the Southeastern Louisiana Lions. To discuss the Lions, we have our guy, John Sartori. How are you, John?
Good man, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Good. John is also the host of the State of SLU, which is just the exclusive podcast to cover all of SLU Lions athletics. Now, before we jump into that, what kind of city is Hammond? What kind of area are we talking about?
Yeah, so Hammond is right between New Orleans and Baton Rouge. It's an hour between both of them. And it's the quintessential college town. We call it Hammond America for a reason. So really small town. The university is the big economic factor within Hammond, definitely. And so Hammond is Southeastern. Southeastern is Hammond.
Now, are you from the area or did you go to SLU? I mean,
Yeah, I'm from Mandeville, Louisiana. It's about a 30 minutes outside of New Orleans, and it's 30 minutes from Hammond, so nearby.
when you were picking the schools, what stood out to you about the campus or the city itself?
Well, I went there to study journalism, and I tell everybody all the time, if you are interested in journalism in the state of Louisiana, there's no better place to go than Southeastern. Robin Roberts went there, definitely our most famous alumni, but great program. And so that's definitely what drew me to it, and it's still there. So if anybody listening has any interest in studying journalism and they want to be in Louisiana, then Southeastern's the place to do it.
Now, we'll look at the football team first. When you look at the concept of the team, they had football, they dropped it for a couple of years, and they came back a while back. When they came back, what was that feeling? Or like, if you talk to people who had lived it, what was that feeling around the city that the Lions returned?
Well, it's interesting because the Manning Passing Academy is held in Thibodaux, Louisiana, every year at Nicholls State University. But from 1987 to 2003, when there was no football, the Manning Passing Academy was actually held in Hammond. And so football's always still been around Hammond. There's a rich tradition like there is at every school. But from 1987 to 2003, obviously there was no football. And so they bring it back in 2003, Hal Mumme. Comes in with the air raid and sets about every record there was at the Division One double A level at the time, and there were a lot of tough years, and this is really the glory days of it now. But football obviously in Louisiana is always going to have a home. People are always going to be excited about it, but it is, like you said, the university has dropped it, they've brought it back, and so it is there. Is not a lot of new history within the program, but they're building it now.
What is the scene around Strawberry Stadium on game day?
So Strawberry Stadium, I think, is for those that don't know, it's a 7,000 seat stadium. It's a very small stadium, but it is built right on top of the field. And you know what? Southeastern is an hour between Hammond and or an hour between Baton Rouge and an hour between New Orleans, and so you're competing to against LSU and now Tulane every week to try to get people to go to the games. And look, people want to be around a winner, and fortunately, we've had a lot of success over the last few years, and so the crowds have definitely grown over the last 5 years. And there's a genuine interest, one, and I think that it's at the highest level there is really ever right now.
Now, when you look at the direction of the football program, where do you see this program heading in the next 5 years?
Well, like I said, I think that it's the highest point that this program has really ever been in. They've made now 5 FCS playoff appearances. Three in the last 3 fall seasons. Obviously, the FCS played in the spring of 2020 because of the pandemic, but it's been 3 straight traditional fall playoff appearances for the program. And I think that we're on the trajectory of becoming not just a traditional top 25 team, but a traditional maybe top 15 team. And so that's the next step, is now we've made now three straight playoff appearances. We've made three straight trips to the second round. We've won three straight playoff games. The trajectory now and the hope is to become a perennial power in the Southern United States, because the FCS is controlled by the Northwest. Hopefully we can become that power down south, and maybe we get into the top 15, top 10, and start challenging for national championships the way that Sam Houston State did, 5, 10 years ago.
You have a coach in Frank Sofo, who is a Louisiana guy, who born and raised in Louisiana. What does being a Louisiana coach, especially at a college in Louisiana, how does that differ from just being a transplant from another state?
Well, I think that when Coach Selfo came in, there was not a lot known about him. Ron Roberts left to go take the Louisiana Lafayette defensive coordinator job, and he was the best coach that we had at the time. And Frank Selfo has now surpassed the playoff appearances, and he's surpassed the playoff wins, and he's only going into year six. It helps a ton in terms of recruiting, and we've seen the program, the roster change dramatically. There was a lot of out of state, a lot of junior college talent when Ron Roberts was the head coach. Southeastern has done a fantastic job of locking down the Baton Rouge and New Orleans recruiting areas for those student athletes who do not go to LSU, who do not go to Tulane. They're competing against the mid-majors of Louisiana now for athletes, with Louisiana Lafayette, Louisiana Tech, and then, of course, the other FCS programs in the state, McNeese and Nichols. And so the importance of having Coach Selfo understand Louisiana talent and locking down the state, I think, is why we're seeing such great success on the field over the last 4 years.
How does the relationship between a coach from that state and high school coaches, what is that like? Especially you have people who are from the same background, same areas. Is there more of a camaraderie, more of a colleagueship between them?
I don't think it's any more than if a coach from out of state cared, but I will say this, there, and I think anyone will tell you this, high school coaches can tell when college coaches genuinely care about them. And I think that we're seeing that be the case with Southeastern. And so, yeah, it's easier to build those relationships in state, but I think high school coaches care as long as you care. But like I said, I think Coach Selfo has done a great job. His staff has done a great job. It's not just him. That's a fantastic staff. And there's not been a ton of turnover in terms of coaches on that staff in his 5 years. He's done a great job at retaining coaches. And I think that that helps too, because these kids who are getting recruited, their recruiter's not going to a different school. They've been at Southeastern.
You're currently in Shreveport. How often do you get back to watch a game at Strawberry Stadium?
Yeah, so I've seen a few. Fortunately, Southeastern was up in Northwest Louisiana twice last year for Louisiana Tech and Northwestern State, and then this year I was able to go down and watch Northwestern State again. I get down there a decent amount, but you know what? I started the state of Southeastern as a way to stay in touch with the program, in touch with the university, and it's been fantastic so far. So even if I can't see him in person, the times that I do get down there are great. I'll be following from afar for now.
What's the reception been like as far as the fans and the listeners to the podcast?
It's been fantastic. We started this just a couple of weeks ago, but I say it on the show. Part of the reason is we are a school that people don't even get the name right probably 90% of the time, and we're a school that does not have a ton of media coverage. We're in this media giant that is Baton Rouge with LSU, and now Tulane's having a ton of success, and we're kind of the forgotten child of it all, and even with all the success that we've had. And so we people who follow Southeastern, who graduated from Southeastern, they are passionate and they love the university, and the university I feel like loves them back. And so for if you're going to support Southeastern, Southeastern will support you. And so the feedback's been fantastic, and can't thank everybody enough for it. And it's been a ton of fun so far.
When we get back from break, I want to discuss the programs in depth, the Southland Conference in general, and where you see if there's any chance for expansion within the Southland. But that's after break. You're listening to the Ad Drop Podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the AdDrop Podcast. Terrence Biggs, John Sartori from the state of SLU, also from KTAL Sports. John, when you look at the Southland Conference, it is a conference, like you said, not really a whole lot of media coverage, but a whole lot of talent. What do you think the conference must do to take the next step as far as trying to gain that media attention?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the conference has done a fantastic job, especially this year, of emphasizing social media. Chris Grant, the commissioner, has come in and done great things right away in his first year in terms of getting us the media exposure. Obviously, winning helps a ton. UIW, there's a ton of interest in what Lindsey Scott Jr. is doing there and the amount of numbers that he's putting up. And but I think the conference as a whole, the WAC struggling was a huge benefit to the Southland, because there was a time when Lamar jumped, UIW jumped, and we were wondering what the future of the conference was going to be. And now it has such strong legs, you know, with Lamar, Texas A&M Commerce comes in and they compete right away. And so it's just going to be a matter of everyone competing, because football this year was extremely, extremely top heavy with UIW and Southeastern. They were the only two teams that had winning records. But now we're seeing basketball do well. Northwestern State is on SportsCenter last night. Southeastern, very competitive. Texas A&M Corpus Christi, very competitive. And so it's just going to come down to competition, because historically this is a baseball conference. And so if we can get this conference, you know, everybody, maybe the top half, getting winning records in the other sports, then we'll be just fine.
If the Southland was going to expand, who do you think would be the likeliest target?
Yeah, I think, you know, West Texas A&M is a school that people have talked about, Division II power. They've got the facilities and they've got, you know, the proximity to the Southland. Tarleton State was thrown out a few years ago. I don't really know what their situation is in with the WAC. And then Dallas Baptist as well. But it's about locking down Texas, I feel. Louisiana's done, you know, every FCS school in the state is in the Southland. And now it's about expanding into Texas. And I think that the Arkansas days are done, which is surprising with how well Central Arkansas did in the conference, but it looks like it's going to be Louisiana and Texas from here on out.
What's happening with the Bears? Are they moving conferences? Or are they?
So they joined the WAC, and then they were in the Atlantic Sun for a little bit. Where are they now? Central Arkansas is in. Because they jumped with everybody else. So they're in the A Sun right now. I have no idea where they're going after that. But yeah, they look, I thought it was interesting that everybody decided to go, because they weren't the only ones. You know, Lamar left and came back. UIW wanted to leave and come back. Sam Houston State left. There was a mass exodus there, and Central Arkansas was part of it. And it's too bad, because there was some great rivalries with many Southland schools in Central Arkansas for a long time.
Who is the one basketball player from SLU that we should know about?
Currently?
Mm-hmm.
I would say Boogie Anderson. Boogie Anderson is a great scorer for Southeastern. He's transferred in from South Dakota. He's probably going to wind up leading us in scoring this year. And interestingly enough, he's never attempted a three-point shot in his career. He's never made one. He's never attempted one. He's a slasher. And then Brody Roebury. Is a 6'11 freshman from the state of Idaho. I believe he's the first player from Idaho we ever had. 6'11, and he can shoot the three. And so if we make a run, if we get into the NCAA tournament, he's going to be a guy that's going to become a media sensation without a doubt. So those are probably the two.
What are the Lions' chances of making a run into the NCAA tournament?
Got to the conference championship game in the Southland last year, and I think that Northwestern State is interesting. You know, they had such a good start, but, you know, like every mid-major, you lose one game in the conference tournament, you're out. And so it's just going to be a matter of staying healthy. And I think we got a good chance as anybody. It's so hard to say right now, because like I said, you know, you get in the conference tournament, you know, you play one bad game and you're out. And Southeastern's played really good games. They've got a win over Wyoming this year. They almost beat Colorado State. They almost beat Dayton. And then they go against Xavier. And at one point in the first half, they were shooting 9%. I think they were shooting like 1 for 15. So it's just going to be you know, got to stay consistent throughout the conference tournament, and we'll see where the chips fall.
How can people interact with you on social media?
Yeah, so would love to for you to follow the show at the State of SLU on Twitter and Instagram. Our website is thestateofslu.com, and then I'm on Twitter at John Sartori, SARTORITV.
John Sartori from the State of SLU. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AirDrop Podcast.
Terrence, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.